Well, we haven't seen one of these in a while. It's Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. Hi there, I'm Amelia Dalton, your hostess of this here podcast. This week's Fish Fry has a little bit for everyone. First up, we've got a Kickstarter corner interview with a team from IOTA Labs, a startup from UC Berkeley, all about their new physical push notification called Dot. And then I'm sitting down with John Long from LCR Systems and chatting all about fiber-based design for embedded systems. And then to wrap things up, we're headed into straight-up Trekker Dreamland with a little news you may have missed. So, without further ado, let's bring in Kanal, Grant, and Rashab from IOTA Labs to introduce us to Dot. Notifications, as we know them, may have just jumped the shark. Hi, Rashab. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks, Amelia. I'm here with three of my co-founders, Kanal, Rahul, and Grant, and we'd love to talk about Dot today.
First off, give my audience a bit of an idea of what IOTA Labs is all about, and what is Dot exactly?
I'll take that question. This is Kanal. So IOTA Labs is an Internet of Things startup based out of Berkeley, California, and our main focus is to make the Internet of Things as simplified as possible for consumers all over the world. Our main focus is getting data and simplifying how people interact with that data on their smartphones. So our product, very naturally, is called Dot. It's a physical push notification. It basically uses precise location tracking to make your smartphone's notifications intelligent and contextual. Think about getting notifications in a room-by-room precision basis. So instead of just getting a notification at a location or somewhere general and time, you get it, say, on your bed or at your desk or in your garage. We really focus on precision and making people's lives as organized and streamlined as possible.
Excellent. So how did you guys come up with the idea for Dot?
Yes. Originally, we thought about what's the simplest hardware product that we can produce. And that turned out to be like a binary light. And that idea has actually morphed since its inception. One time we were sitting around a table together at dinner, and we noticed that a family wasn't really communicating with each other. They're actually looking at their phones. So that's where the idea of kind of rehauling how we received our notifications came in. And later on, we iterated on the idea further and realized that, you know, if we added location into the mix and we added the precision that the new Bluetooth 4.0 system allowed, we could actually add context to help people organize their notifications that way.
All right, so this is an engineering podcast after all. So give my audience the rundown on what's inside the Dot.
Hey, yeah, the Dot is really a Bluetooth beacon. And now beacons have been around for a while, but we realized that they've kind of been approached the wrong way. So the Dot really consists of a Bluetooth chip, a microprocessor on it, an LED. And now with our recent Kickstarter goal, we're going to add a button on top of it. So all of this comes in a really small form factor. Maybe you can think of the circumference of a quarter. And you can put this on a wall and allow users to interact with it, look at it. It's going to be very aesthetic to the eye. And this all ties into our custom Dot app, which I'll let Grant talk about.
So our app works as sort of an IFTT for notifications. So the idea is that when the user comes into contact within the Bluetooth range of the Dot and forms a connection, the Dot is going to signal the phone to perform some sort of action or request or send a corresponding notification. So the Bluetooth on the phone actually has to be very precise. We can trace the range as well to provide increased context. So that includes room-to-room precision with the Dot.
Very cool. All right. So give my audience some information about your Kickstarter campaign. It seems to be doing quite well.
Yeah, Kanal here. So we launched our Kickstarter campaign on August 23rd. We met our goal within 12 hours. And right now we're sitting at about 8-9 days left with 93,000 and about 1,350 backers with close to 4,000 units sold. It's been an exciting journey so far, and we've hit a lot of cool milestones along the way. We got featured in Product Hunt, covered by USA Today, Digital Trends. Last week, we got covered by Mashable, and that video got seen 100,000 times with over 1,400 shares. It was really fun because we beat out Apple AirPods and Taylor Swift for the day and the number of shares. So it's been quite a ride.
All right, guys, one last question for you. So what's next? You're going to finish up your Kickstarter campaign, and then what's after that?
Now that our campaign's wrapping up, we really want to focus our next 7 months just on purely development and building a community. We have a prototype of our app and we have prototype hardware, but we really want to get it to a state where people are going to want to use it in their everyday lives. And so what we're looking at is develop an alpha version over the next few months and then provide a beta to our most interested customers, the people who consider themselves hackers, really. Then from there, we'll be launching to our general Kickstarter audience and focusing on sales through our stores and then hopefully try and move into the B2B space from there.
Adding on to that, within the next few weeks, we're actually going to be adding a Slack channel where other people can actually ask us questions, interface with us directly, and kind of get that developer community that Rishabh talked about moving.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, and the best of luck to you guys.
Okay, thank you.
Next up, the what, where, and how of fiber optics with John Long from LCR Systems. Let's go. Hi, John. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you.
So first off, let's tell my audience a little bit about LCR Embedded Systems. So what exactly do you guys do?
You know, LCR Embedded Systems, our traditional business is electronic packaging. We focus mainly on the defense and government space. What we do is we build chassis and backplanes. A majority of our deployments are either airborne, naval, above ocean or below ocean, and then ground mobile. So we really understand the different deployment environments and how to build a chassis and a backplane to protect for the unique environmentals in each situation.
Okay, so John, we're here at Embedded Tech Trends Show, and you guys gave a talk about fiber-based design for embedded systems. So let's talk about the use of fiber optic cable. Now, it's been around for some time, but we're starting to see it in places that we've never seen it before or, heck, even used a lot more these days. So before we dive down deep, let's get into some details. What are the goods under the fiber optic hood?
Yeah, fiber optic is a technology that originally came out of the communication space in the 1990s. It's gone into the commercial IT space. If you walk into a closet, you're likely to see fiber. And really what it is it addresses two needs. It addresses the ability for high bandwidth communications, and also it has some unique properties on EMC and EMI and weighs less than traditional copper solutions.
So let's get a little bit into the advantages of using fiber optics in embedded designs. Can you give me some sample design examples where it would be important to use fiber optics?
Yeah, there's a couple. And, you know, the simplest and most obvious is in airplanes. Is weight is very important. For every pound of weight you add to a plane, there's significant incremental cost of a life cycle in the plane of bigger engines, more fuel, less space for occupants. In the case of aviation, fiber really addresses two big areas. It is significantly less weight than copper. One study that we did showed it was about 13% of the weight of a robust copper solution for aviation. Second of all is EMI-EMC. EMC is always an issue where you have a lot of cabling together. Fiber does not act in EMC, and it's also immune to any electromagnetic interference because it's all optical. So those are the really two major areas. Third area is they're a lot smaller and they take a lot less space than traditional copper.
Okay, so that's the plus side, John, but what about the minus? Let's talk about the challenges of using fiber optics versus copper.
Yeah, the challenges is more on the installation and maintenance of it. Is folks are very used to copper, you can abuse copper fairly easy. You know, with optics, one of the important things for the basic is understanding the bend radius. You really never want to have a bend radius of more than 1 inch, because if not, you can break the fiber optics. And basically, is you have to start over with a new pair of fiber. The other issues get more really nuanced, is there's a lot of studies done by Bell Labs, AT&T, on the impact of fiber and stuff like microbending, microfracturing over time. So one of the things is when you deploy fiber in any unit box, you need to make sure that the fiber is somewhat loose and has a flexibility to move in the direction it naturally wants to. If you put strain on that fiber optics, what happens is over months and weeks, you can start seeing the fiber to spontaneously break because of the stress it's under internally.
Wow. Okay, John, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I heard that you're recently teaching your 16-year-old how to drive, which scares me a lot, thinking about my own sons. Do you have any advice for me?
One of the things I found out was very useful. A lot of cars will have hand grips right above the door. If you can get a tight grip on that and just take all the stress off with that, because it is quite the learning experience as you watch someone else drive for the first time.
I love that answer. I didn't know that what that was for, but I guess I do now. Well, John, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
And thank you.
I don't know about you, but I spent a good portion of last week celebrating. That's right, because, and as I'm sure you might already know, Star Trek has just celebrated its 50th anniversary. Can you believe it's been 50 years since James T. Kirk commanded, "Beam me up, Scotty," or Bones declared, "Damn it, Jim." Okay, well, my friends and fellow Trekkers, or Trekkies, depending on your particular preference, the time has come. We have waited 50 long years for this, and I, for one, am super stoked. What could it be? Well, it's the very first fully functional TNG badge. Oh yes, coming on the market in November. Okay, so maybe you aren't up on your Star Trek lingo, but the STTNG badge is that circular thing with an arrowhead thing looking on top that the intergalactic explorers on Star Trek use to communicate, right? There have been a ton of replicas of these STTNG badges on the market for years. And sure, they look cute, but they don't really do anything, and until now. Coming this November, the very first fully functioning and, of course, officially licensed communicator badge called the Star Trek TNG Bluetooth Comm Badge will be available. Yes! Manufactured by FameTech and distributed by ThinkGeek. The Star Trek TNG Bluetooth Comm Badge hooks up to your smartphone via Bluetooth, right? Attaches to your clothing using magnets, good. Also has a built-in microphone for hands-free calling, can answer and end calls, play or pause audio, access Siri, Google Now, or Cortana with just a single touch. Yes! And of course, a touch of the comm badge will also play that classic communicator sound. You know the one? Sorry. Some of the other specs of this awesome new piece of cosplay meets reality. I'll probably be wearing this at the next conference I go to. Gadgetry? The Star Trek TNG Bluetooth Comm Badge has a wireless range of about 33 feet, runs on a rechargeable lithium-ion battery. One charge will last you about 10 hours, and also includes a micro USB charging cable. Now the price tag for this new Comm Badge, a measly $79.99. I mean, come on, I'd probably pay twice that, at least. And again, ThinkGeek isn't actually shipping these communicator badges until November. So thanks for that lack of a Halloween costume accessory, ThinkGeek. Anyway, you can pre-order now, just like I did. I'm guessing these bad boys are going to sell out rather quickly, so you want to pre-order your very own Star Trek TNG Bluetooth Comm Badge. And you can go there with the link I posted on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Can you tell I'm excited about this? Yeah. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have a YouTube channel, keyword EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, IOTA Labs, DOT, maybe the communicator badge, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of September 16th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.